I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for bringing all of us here to worship Him once again, and welcome back those who have traveled. So good to see you back in the house of the Lord. And surely it is good to be here. Always remember why we are here. Of course, primarily, as we said, it is to worship the one true living God. We are here to worship Him. And then the other reason is, of course, we are here to witness to the truth that we have a living Savior. Our Jesus is alive and He lives in us. And we say, why? We can do that witness also individually at home. My friends, it is the Lord's will that we come together corporately to witness to this truth, to tell the world as a body that Jesus is alive. So, friends, very good to be in the house of the Lord indeed. Now today we want to talk about the fourth beatitude. I've been speaking on the beatitudes. The beatitudes precede the sermon on, not precede, or they start the sermon on the mount. And we have covered three beatitudes already. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now today I want to talk about the fourth beatitude, which is, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now sometimes this question is asked, are the beatitudes for entry into the kingdom of God or for living in the kingdom of God? Now which one do you think is correct? Actually, both are correct. You see, both are correct. We need to come before the Lord Jesus Christ, poor in spirit. We must come before Him with a broken and contrite heart and realize that we are completely lost. Yes, we are desperately in need of a Savior. Yes, we need salvation, and we are wretched sinners in ourselves. And then we must come before Him mourning over our sins. Yes, we must mourn over our sins, and confess our sins and ask for His precious blood to cleanse us of all our sins. And then thirdly, we must be meek enough to seek His righteousness. So, and then of course, we must also hunger and thirst after His righteousness. So it is, the beatitude is for entry into the kingdom of God, but it is also for living in the kingdom of God. You see, after we are saved, we must continue to come before Him poor in spirit, because a broken and a contrite heart the Lord will not despise. So we must continue to come before the Lord and recognize that we are spiritually bankrupt without the Lord. And then let us never forget that there is still the sinful nature in us. We still sin, and therefore we must mourn over our sins, we must confess them, and we must ask the Lord to cleanse us of our sins. And then we must continue to be meek. In fact, we must grow in meekness if in fact the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us and our aim is to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we must be meek and we must grow in meekness. Then we spoke about meekness in the last message. What is meekness? Meekness is strength or power under control. Without meekness, my dear friends, we are no better than a wild horse to its master. A wild horse is of no use to its master because it is powerful, but its strength and power are not under control by the master. If we are not meek, we will be of no use to the Lord Jesus Christ. Great men of the faith were meek people. They were characterized by meekness. Abraham was meek. Moses was meek. And the Lord Jesus Christ is meekness personified. So friends, if we want to be of use to the Lord, we must be meek. Now today we move on to the fourth beatitude, which is, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, for this beatitude, I'd like to answer five questions this morning. First, what is meant by thirsting and hungering? as referred to in this beatitude. That's number one. Number two, what do people in the world hunger and thirst after? Number three, what should we hunger and thirst after rightfully? And the thing that we should hunger and thirst after is, of course, righteousness. And so the question is, what is righteousness? That is my fourth question. What is righteousness? And then finally, what are the results of hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness? So five questions in all. Now, what is thirsting and hungering as referred to in this parable, in this beatitude by the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, in Australia, of course, we have abundance of food. Yes, we have abundance of food, we have abundance of drinks. Sometimes, in fact, there is so much vegetables and so much fruits in this country that the excess has to be destroyed so that the prices may be maintained. That's the kind of excess that we have in this country. So extreme thirst and extreme hunger are things that are practically unheard of. So when you hear somebody say, I'm dying of thirst, is he really dying of thirst? Not really. All right. What he means is that he can't get his drink immediately. The drink, maybe he has to wait maybe for another 1 or 2 minutes to get his drink. And so he says, I'm dying of thirst. Or somebody may say, oh, I'm dying of hunger. Is he actually dying of hunger? Not really. His meal might really be delayed only by half an hour. Maybe he was delayed in the office, or he missed the bus or missed the train, and therefore he came home late and had his dinner late by half an hour. And so before he had his dinner, he said, oh, I'm dying of hunger. So people in Australia really don't understand what is meant by real hunger and real thirst. They don't know. Now, what is real thirst? Now, I could have shared this with you before, what real thirst is, but I share this with you again. This is the experience of a soldier who fought in the First World War against the Turks. The Turks were, of course, fighting on the side of the Germans, and then this soldier was fighting on the side of the Allied forces. And this was what he said, First World War, fighting in Palestine, in the Palestinian desert. And so he writes, Our heads ached. Our eyes became bloodshot and dim in the blinding glare of the desert. Our tongues began to swell. Our lips turned to a purplish black and burst. Turned black and burst. How thirsty they were. They were completely dehydrated. Those who dropped out of the column were never seen again. They were marching in columns, and those who dropped out were never seen again because they died of thirst. But the desperate battle on to Sheriam. There were wells in Sheriam, and had we been unable to take the place by nightfall, thousands were doomed to die of thirst. We fought that day as men fight for their lives. We entered Sheriam's station on the heels of the retreating Turks. That means the Turks were retreating. They were running, and these Allied forces were after them. The first objects we met, which met our view, were the great stone cisterns, full of water, clear drinking water. It took 4 hours before the last man had his drink of water. I believe that we all learned our first real Bible lesson on that march from Beersheba to the Sharia Wells. If such were our thirst for God and for His righteousness, for His will in our lives, a consuming, all-embracing, preoccupying desire, how rich in the fruit of the Spirit would we be? Yes. If we hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, and hunger and thirst after God, just like those soldiers thirsted after the water of Sharia that day, we will be very, very rich spiritually. We'll be rich in the fruit of the Spirit. And that's true. So friends, that is what real thirst is. Now, what about real hunger? I think I don't have to describe this one. We see lots of real hunger on television. We see documentaries of people in Africa dying of hunger. Yes, that's a picture of hunger. And that's the degree of hunger and thirst that is spoken of in this beatitude. So when we say, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, let us remember, it is the extreme form of hunger and thirst that we are talking about, which the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. So let's keep this in our mind as we look at this beatitude this morning. Now, what do people thirst and hunger after? Essentially, what people are looking for is real happiness. Isn't it true? Everybody wants to have real happiness. Yes. But what people in the world do not realize or choose not to realize is that there is a big spiritual vacuum in every one of us that needs to be properly and correctly filled before we can be happy. You see, we are spiritual beings created by the one true living God in His image. Spiritual being created in His image. And therefore, we need God to meet our spiritual needs. Only He can meet our spiritual needs. Yes. And only Jesus can fill that spiritual vacuum that is in us. But people in the world are blind. They do not see that it is only Jesus who can fill this spiritual vacuum. They do not see that if they want to have their spiritual needs met, they must come to the Lord, poor in spirit. They must come to the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart. They must come to the Lord mourning over their sins and repenting from their sins. And they must come to the Lord seeking for His righteousness. They fail to see that. Why? Because they are spiritually blind. Yes, that is why the spiritual vacuum in them is not filled. That's the reason. But they want and they need to have this vacuum filled. Yes, because they are spiritual beings. This vacuum has to be filled. And so they try to fill this vacuum in some other ways. And the world goes after what is known as the four P's. The first P is power. Second P, the praises of men. The third P, possessions, earthly possessions. And the fourth P that they go after is pleasure. So the four P's. King Nebuchadnezzar, remember we spoke about King Nebuchadnezzar before. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon went after power. And true, he became the most powerful man of his time. He was the king of the superpower of his day in that part of the world. And he was so powerful that he boasted of the power that he had. Now let us look at the way he boasted. Please turn with me to Daniel chapter 5. Yes, this passage I think we have read many times before, but it's good for us to read this passage again this morning. See how King Nebuchadnezzar boasted. Daniel chapter 5, verse 28. Daniel 5, verse 28 to 32. I read these verses for you. Daniel chapter 5, verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Yes, for whom? By whom? By his power. For his majesty. Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times, meaning 7 years, shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." He was powerful. But powerful as he was, you know what God had? God very, very simply did this. God simply turned one of his little screws in his mind loose. And then he became a madman. Yes, he behaved like a wild ox that behaved like an ox that fed on grass, and he did so for 7 years. Yes, before God restored to him his sanity. No, friends, power does not give abiding happiness. Yes, happiness can disappear as quickly as power disappears. And you know, power can disappear as quickly as a little screw coming loose in our mind. God has just to send you a little virus. And that's all, a little virus. And you lose your power. And when you lose your power, you lose your happiness, if your happiness is dependent on the power that you have. And then the problem with having power is that the lust of power can never be satisfied. The more power a person has, the more power he wants. You just look at the leaders in the world and the great CEOs of companies. How many of them are willing to stand aside to let other people take over their positions? How many? Rare. Rare are such leaders. Yes, they are far, 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 far in between. And it was said of Alexander the Great. I think I must have quoted this example before about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was said to have wept when he conquered the whole world. You know why he wept? Because there was no more world for him to conquer. You see, his desire, his craze for power could not be satisfied. It had to be satisfied, it could not be satisfied. So the pursuit of power does not give us happiness. Now, we may not be a Nebuchadnezzar, or we may not be an Alexander the Great, but friends, we are very, very capable of lasting after power in the situations that we are in our office, in our workplace, in the organizations that we are involved in. Even in the church, we could be guilty of lasting after power. Friends, let us understand this truth. Power does not give real happiness. The lust for power cannot be satisfied. People who are powerful want to become more powerful. Then there are those who look for happiness in the praises of men. Yes, they are. They desire to be famous. They think that if they are famous, they have the praises of men, they will be very, very happy. Yes, is that true? Now, if that is true, then all the celebrities in the world must be very happy. True? Yes, they must be very, very happy. All the actors and actresses must be very, very happy. But that's not the case. And this is written by a secular professor by the name of Jeep Fowles. And this was what he said. I read this for you. Movie stars aren't any happier than normal people. In fact, celebrity performers may be more likely to struggle with addictions, drug addictions that is, sadness, and even depression because of their public struggles. Some experts say that models, movie stars, musicians, and famous athletes may actually be prone to more bouts of unhappiness and despair than people who aren't celebrities. Celebrity performers, movie stars, and other famous people are almost 4 times more likely to commit suicide than the average American. So if they are more likely, 4 times more likely to commit suicide than the average American, are they happier than the average American? Of course not, my dear friends. So seeking the praises of men is not going to give happiness. What do we thrive on, my dear friends? I ask you this morning, what do we thrive on? Do we thrive on the praises of men? Do we thrive on the praises of our bosses? Do we thrive on the praises of our friends? Thrive on the praises of our colleagues? Thrive on the praises of our parents? Thrive on the praises of men? Do we? My dear friends, let us realize that the praises of men do not give real happiness. What we should be striving for, what we should be striving for is the commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ on the day we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is what we should be striving for. And if we practice what is taught in the Beatitudes, that we are studying, if we practice them, the day will come when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we are going to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that is what we should be striving for. And today, if indeed we are striving for this commendation, we will be the most happy people around. Yes, we strive for that final commendation for the Lord, which is praise that lasts for all eternity. My dear friends, we are going to be a very, very happy people today. Then there are those who look for happiness in earthly possessions. Do earthly possessions give people real happiness? No, they don't. Why? Because of the sinful nature in man. You see, our sinful nature is such that it causes us to be very greedy. Enough is not enough. True? For many people, enough is not enough. The rich would want to become richer. Remember we talked about King Ahab two Lord's days ago. King Ahab. Ahab was a very rich man. He had kingly possessions. He was the king of Israel. He had huge properties. But was he satisfied with what he had? No, my dear friends, not satisfied. He still must have that piece of land that belonged to his neighbor by the name of Naboth. He wanted to annex that piece of land to his palace grounds. And when he couldn't get that piece of land, he sulked like a spoiled brat. And finally, his wife had to kill that neighbor of his so that Ahab could have his piece of land. So, my dear friends, if you are rich, you think you are going to be happy? No, not necessarily. Yes, people who go after riches and think that they will be happy if they have all those possessions, they are not going to be happy. Another reason why earthly possessions do not give real happiness is that earthly possessions are subject to corruption. They are. They are subject to, for example, economic fortunes. If the economic fortunes go negative, the value of your possessions will also go negative. It will go south. And then they are subject to the whims and fancies of men. You know, there's one word for the whims and fancies of men. You know what it is? The sentiments in the marketplace. Actually, it refers to the whims and fancies of men. Market sentiments. If sentiments are good, your stocks and shares and the value of your money will go up. But if sentiments are poor, you can become poor also. From being a rich man, you can actually become a pauper if sentiments are really very, very bad. How true the words of this wise man, King Solomon. Proverbs 23 verse 5. I'd like us to look at this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. Proverbs, I read it many times before. I like to read it this morning again. Proverbs 23 verse 5. And please take heed to this verse. All of us, good for us to remember this verse. Alright, so that you may not overcommit yourself in stocks and shares and so forth. Proverbs 23 verse 5. I read this verse for you. Or maybe we should read this together. Let's read it together. Will thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You know, riches can do that. Riches can put on wings and fly towards heaven. Yes, you can say goodbye to them, in other words. Yes, if you go for riches to for your happiness, you can be very, very disappointed because riches can put wings on themselves and fly away. And then the value of your pet possessions can also be subject to the greed of a small group of people in Wall Street. Did you realize that? And this was what actually happened in this last economic recession. This last economic recession was caused by greedy people in Wall Street, a small group of them. Friends, how can you be happy if your happiness is dependent on the fluctuations of economic fortunes and is dependent on the whims and fancies of men known as sentiments? And if they are your possessions are dependent, the value of your possessions is dependent on the greed of a small group of people in Wall Street, how can you be happy, friends, if your happiness depends on these factors? Friends, if you are hungering and thirsting for possessions, you are indeed looking for happiness in the wrong place. Stop doing so. You are looking for it in the wrong place. Then there are those who hunger and thirst for pleasure, to look for happiness. Again, they are looking for happiness in the wrong place. Everywhere you go in the world, you see all kinds of parks, amusement parks, theme parks, and so forth, all kinds of parks. And all these kinds of parks are created to try to cater to the desire for pleasures in the hearts of people. So man dreams up all kinds of pleasures to try to satisfy their appetites for pleasure. They dream of all kinds of things. I think bungee jumping would be very conservative, right? Yes, but there are other kinds of things like hang gliding, sky, what else? Bungee jumping, and then you have, today you have base jumping, that's right. You have base jumping today. And the more extreme the sports are, the better they are. So they say. I read about this base jumper. He said that when he took off from these high buildings or cliffs, he said actually he was very frightened. But he said the thrill that he got was simply out of this world. And he said because it was so thrilling, so exciting, so pleasurable, he said he must have it again. And better still, if it is even more dangerous than previously. So you see, I dare say that often people seeking for pleasure are only seeking for a pain relief. Really only a pain relief. People going for pleasures are really not going for the cure. You see, after having experienced all the pleasures that they have experienced, what is left behind? The spiritual vacuum is still there. It's not going away. It's not filled. It's still there. So let us listen and listen good to the one who is in the real happiness business, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Yes, we must hunger and we must thirst, but not after power, not after praises, not after physical possessions, not after pleasures, but after righteousness. And remember, the kind of hunger and thirst that we are talking about are hunger and thirst of the most extreme kind. Now, what is this righteousness that we should hunger and thirst after? Righteousness simply means being right with God. That's what righteousness is, being right with God. And this is the righteousness which the Lord Jesus Christ credits to us or imputes onto us the day we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came as a sin offering for us. He came and died for us on the cross of Calvary in order that He may impute on us His righteousness. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, "For He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Yes, in Jesus we have righteousness. Do you know how great this righteousness is that we have in Jesus? It's very, very great. Extremely, extremely great. It is even greater than the righteousness Adam had before he fell. Did you realize that? The great C.H. Spurgeon made this comment. He says, "Saints are so righteous in Jesus Christ that they are more righteous than Adam was before he fell. For he had but a creature righteousness." He was created and he had creature righteousness. Yes. "But saints have the righteousness of whom? Of the Creator, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The day we came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this righteousness is imputed unto us. Adam had a righteousness which he lost. But saints, the kind of righteousness that we have, and let us understand, cannot be lost, because this is the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is imputed unto us, credited to us, and it will be with us and in us for all eternity. We will be clothed with it for all eternity." Have you ever put on stained glasses before, or seen through some stained glasses? There was a day when my wife and I and a few friends were driving. It was late afternoon, but it was still very, very bright. I think it was summer. It was still very, very bright. Then my wife suddenly said, "How come it's so dark? How come it's so dark? Actually, she had forgotten to remove her sunglasses. That's why it was so dark to her, and we all had a good laugh. But friends, the truth is, if you look through stained glasses, of course everything looks stained. If you look through blue glasses, things will look blue to you. If you look through red glasses, things will look red to you. When God looks at us, my dear friends, He looks at us through whom? Through Jesus. He looks at us through His righteousness. And so, we appear righteous in the sight of the one true living God. Being righteous is more than being forgiven. As we said before, if you are forgiven, you are just acquitted. You become a free man. But to be righteous in the sight of God is to put on the princely garment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It means that we have been adopted. We have been adopted into God's family, if you are righteous. Adopted into His family. We have become sons and daughters of the one true living God. And we have become heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand righteous before the one true living God because we have on us the cloak of righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But friends, we must not stop there. The hungry and thirsting for His righteousness must keep coming back to us if we truly want to be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in fact, our appetite for His righteousness must continue to increase. We must want to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must want to have more and more of Him. We must have more and more of His righteousness. Yes, saints of the Lord will want to have more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's another way of saying they want to have more of the righteousness of the Lord. You look at the case of the great King David. David says in Psalm 42, and I'd like us to look at this Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 42 and verses 1 and 2. Psalm 42 and verses 1 and 2. David says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, David saw himself as a wild deer. A hart is a wild deer. He saw himself as a wild deer being pursued, as it were, by its predator. And because it keeps running until it becomes very, very thirsty and is looking for water brooks to drink water. And David says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That was how he thirsted after the one true living God. And here was one who was already living very close to the Lord. Here was one who had the experience of having the Lord as his shepherd, and he himself his sheep. And here was one who experienced being led into green pastures to be fed by the Lord. Here was one who experienced being led to beside the still waters to drink the fresh water from the still waters. Yes, and yet he was not satisfied. He says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so I pant after the one true living God. I must have more and more of the Lord. We talked about Moses, I think time before last. Moses had similar experiences. Yes, he saw the glory of the Lord in the burning bush. Remember, there was a day when God called him from out of the burning bush that was not consumed by its flame. Moses saw the Lord, the glory of the Lord. Then Moses saw the hand of the Lord leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And then Moses also saw the Lord through the pillar of fire and through the pillar of cloud. And then he had this wonderful fellowship with the Lord. Yes, he spoke to the Lord as a friend to a friend. And he was also given the wonderful instructions to build the tabernacle. But was he satisfied? No, he said, Lord, show me your glory, Lord, show me your glory. And so the Lord took him up onto Mount Sinai and then etched out the Ten Commandments onto the two tablets of stone. Now Moses could have seen the Lord's finger etching out the Ten Commandments, But was he satisfied? No. He said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord finally showed him his glory. The Lord showed him his back parts. Remember, we read about that. Now, what that means, we do not know. But the point was, he was not satisfied. His spiritual hunger for the Lord was extremely great. Now, what about the Apostle Paul? Now, the Apostle Paul also had similar experiences. Yes, he saw the Lord at least four times, as we said before. Once on the road to Damascus to ferret out the Christians to be persecuted, the Lord met him and the Lord converted him. And then there were two other times in the city of Jerusalem. Once when the Lord told him that his ministry was to the Gentiles, the Lord appeared to him. Another time was after his third missionary journey. The Lord appeared to him and told him that he must go to Rome. And then there was yet another time. Remember when he was in the city of Corinth, he was very discouraged and the Lord appeared to him. But was he satisfied? No, I must know more of the Lord. And so he says in Philippians 3:10, our theme verse for the year, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, they must know more and more of the Lord. And David sums up the holy desire of all saints who hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. This is how David sums it up. Psalm 17 verse 15. Please turn with me to Psalm 17 verse 15. Psalm 17 verse 15. Psalm 17 and verse 15. David says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Yes, saints have this holy desire to know more and more of the Lord. They hunger and thirst after him. They hunger and thirst after his righteousness. And when will they be satisfied? They will be satisfied on the day of resurrection. When they awake from the dead, when they rise up from the dead, and when they see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and when they are like him, that is the day when they will be completely satisfied, when they attain sinless perfection, perfection with the glorious body, with the glorified body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the result of hungering and thirsting after righteousness? The result is, we will be happy. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why will we be happy? Now, we will be happy because God will fill us with his grace. God will fill us with his joy. God will fill us with his peace. God will fill us with his hope of eternal bliss. God will fill us with his grace. Grace is a very beautiful word. It means unmerited favor. Yes, the Lord will give us many things that we do not deserve at all. As believers, we desire very much to live victoriously, don't we? As believers, we want to be able to ride in high places. We want to live above our circumstances. We want to be able to control the affairs of our life rather than to allow the affairs of our lives to control us. Isn't it very true? That's what we desire. And we want to have the ability to overcome sins. That must be the desire of saints, of all saints. But how can we do all these things? How? Not by our strength, friends, but by his grace. We need his grace. We need his Holy Spirit to fill us. We need his Holy Spirit to come into us, to control us, to take charge of our lives, so that we will be able to live victoriously for him. And friends, when we hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, by his grace, he will fill us with his Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with his Holy Spirit, my dear friends, we will then be able to live victoriously and live lives that are happy and joyous. And when we hunger and thirst after his righteousness, he fills us with joy. He fills us with peace. Romans 15 verse 13 says, the Lord of hope fill you with all joy and peace. As we said, those who hunger and thirst after the wrong things, the four P's, power, praise, possessions, and pleasures will continue to have this spiritual vacuum in them. But this will not be the case with those who hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. My dear friends, they will be filled, as we said, they will be filled with grace, first of all, they will be filled with joy, they will be filled with peace. And the joy that they will be filled with will be joy unspeakable. It will be the joy of the Lord. And we need this joy, my dear friends, to travel along this straight and narrow way. Yes, and this is the joy that causes every load to be light. We will feel that it is light, we will feel that it is not a big burden if we have this joy. And we need this joy, and He will fill us with this joy. And if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, He will give us joy that is really a foretaste of the heavenly joy that is to come in the future. Then the peace from the Lord will be the peace that passes all understanding. First, we enjoy the peace that we have, enjoy peace with Him when we come and trust Him as our Lord and Savior, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Next, He will fill us with the peace that passes all understanding. This peace is the inner tranquility that we are very much in need of. There are lots of people who need tranquilizer to stabilize them. They need sleeping pills to be able to sleep. But listen to this great man, King David. David was at that time possibly fleeing from his son Absalom, who tried to usurp his throne and who tried to kill him. David at that time possibly was not sleeping in a tent, not sleeping in a big palace, but possibly sleeping in a tent. And this was what he said in Psalm 4 verse 8. I'd like us to turn to this psalm. Psalm 4 verse 8. Look at the kind of peace that he had. Psalm 4:8. David says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Friends, as we said, his life was in danger. Possibly, he was possibly sleeping in a tent, and yet this was what he was able to say. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. When we hunger and thirst after righteousness, He will also fill us with the hope of heavenly bliss to come. And David was filled with this hope. Yes, of this hope of heavenly bliss to come. That is why he wrote in Psalm 17 verse 15, the verse that we read earlier on. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with thy likeness. He was looking forward to the day when he would be like the Lord. Yes, so as he lived through his life, he had this hope of seeing the Lord one day and be like the Lord. So friends, I ask you this morning, what are you hungering and thirsting today? What are you hungering and thirsting after today? Are you hungering and thirsting after the four P's? Power, possessions, praises, physical pleasures, praises and possessions and pleasures. Are you looking for these things? Understand this truth, my dear friends. You seek for those things, they are not going to give you the happiness that you want. If you want to have true happiness, we must seek for the righteousness of the one true living God. The Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And what will they be filled with? They will be filled with the grace of God. They will be filled with the joy of the Lord. They will be filled with the peace of the Lord. They will be filled with hope of eternal bliss to come. And let us remember that we can come into this position of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, only if we first of all come before the Lord poor in spirit. That's what we must do first of all. And next, we must come before Him mourning over our sins, realizing that we must confess our sins and realizing that only His precious blood can cleanse us of our sins. And then Thirdly, we must be meek enough to seek His righteousness. Only then, my dear friends, would we be in a position to hunger and thirst after His righteousness. My dear friends, this morning, what are you hungering and thirsting after? Are you hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of the one true living God? Now, if you want to have true happiness, that is the thing that you must be hungering and thirsting after. Righteousness. And if you thirst for His hunger and thirst for His righteousness, His promise is, you will be filled. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you will teach us so that we may look for the correct things in life. Help us, O Lord God, that we may not hunger and thirst after the four P's that we have mentioned in this mentioned this morning. Even the praises of men, power, possessions, pleasures. But Lord, we pray that we may seek for the right thing, namely the righteousness of the one true living God. And we know that if we seek for your righteousness, we will be filled, because that is your promise. And we thank you that you will fill us with your grace, you will fill us with your joy, you will fill us with your peace, and you will fill us with your hope of eternal bliss. Lord, we pray that we may take heed to what you say in your word and apply your word to our life. Help us, O Lord God, by your grace to practice the Beatitudes, because it is by so doing that we will have true happiness in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.